Welcome, everybody, to THP Radio and our second installment of Up and Down with Jake and Lefty, brought to you by the THP Tour Spot, the number one place on the net for all things tour golf. Up and Down is the show where, based on debate, you will go up and down in points. This is a fast and friendly debate, and it's hosted by yours truly, JB, from In the Rough with JB and Golfer Gal. And as usual, joining me are your two polar opposite contestants. Jake, he's our Fargo impersonator, and Lefty, our southerner with deep roots of his branchless family tree. Don't let these crazy accents from our debaters fool you, though. They have knowledge on top of knowledge when it comes to professional golf and are here to bring it each and every show. I want to welcome you guys to the show. How is everything?
Everything's good. Everything's good. Ready for another show.
Lefty?
I'm doing fantastic, guys. I'm glad to be here. Just got done celebrating a big Packers victory with the old lady. We couldn't be happier here in North Carolina.
Wonderful. The winner of this show, as many of you guys remember from our first installment, gets to go on to the 19th hole and have some time to sound off on any topic they would like. They'll get a little bonus time to talk about whatever it is that's on their mind at the time, and we always like to hear about it, except for the first episode. We have 9 great topics here for our listeners today, and each one is worth 1 point, as well as the bonus question that comes after the fact, and that's worth 2 points. So let's have at it. First topic, guys. The Bob Hope. Top talent is going elsewhere or skipping it altogether, and only 3 players in the top 46 came to play and finished. What can be done? Jake, sound off.
Well, I'm a big advocate of the tour putting in a rule where you have to play every scheduled tour event at least once within a 4-year period. I think this doesn't hurt anybody. It only helps some of these smaller events. The Bob Hope isn't the only event that has this problem. The Transitions has this problem. There's events all across the schedule that have this problem. And if we can just get once every 4 years, guys, just play once every 4 years, and everybody is going to be a lot better off because of it. I fully believe this.
Lefty, you're up.
Well, I think Jake makes some fantastic points, and it's something I'd like to see implemented as well. However, I think there's some fundamental problems with the Bob Hope that keeps guys away from it. One, you know, it's a 5-day event. That's a lot of golf this early in the season. It's also an event where 4 of your 5 rounds you're playing with celebrities or amateurs. And I think at this time of year, a lot of guys are trying to get ready for the Masters, in my opinion, the first big major. It's the one a lot of them covet. And it's hard to get ready to do that when you're playing a format that is kind of, you know.
And that's it.
As friendly as.
Both had very good arguments. I'm going to give the point to Lefty here because I think he brings up the good point of a format rather than just getting more guys there to play once every 4 years. The format, to me, is something that's a little problematic when it comes to it. It can be good for consumers, but even better for consumers viewing it from their TV as top talent. Topic number 2. Davis Love was just named the Ryder Cup captain. Is he the right choice for his team? Lefty, sound off.
I'm a big, big fan of Davis Love. He graduated from University of North Carolina, played his golf there. He's a good Southern boy. He's a fantastic golfer. My fear with him is captain for the Ryder Cup, so I'm going to go ahead and preface it and say I don't think he's a good choice. In my opinion, he's Corey Pavin 2.0. He's very intense like Corey Pavin. He's not very outwardly spoken. I don't really see him as a big team motivator. And the biggest problem I have is the fact that the Euros have owned us in the Ryder Cup for the past few years, and the 1 year that we actually play well, Paul Agingers.
Jake, your turn.
You know, I'm a little ashamed of you, Lefty. Dogging on your boy. That's DL3 from North Carolina, and you're dogging him. I'm sorry, he's from what? Seattle, South Carolina. Seattle, Georgia. Anyways, I think it's a great pick. I think, look at the passion he has. I mean, he's crying in the press conference announcing that he's Ryder Cup captain. The dude has passion. He has respect from the younger guys, and he's a lot of their friends. A lot of these guys really enjoy his company. I think he's going to bring passion. I think he's going to bring friendship.
Okay.
And I think he's going to bring the Ryder Cup to the United States.
Well, I'm a big DL3 fan, and I have been for a while, but I think he was the logical pick, and I think he's the fan-friendly pick, but I kind of agree with Lefty here. I think he's Corey Pavin 2.0 in that he's still somewhat of an introvert when it comes to the public and what the public and the media will perceive, as his captainness, as I like to call it. So I'm going to give the point to Lefty here, and I will say that this judge, as a judge, I'm certainly in the minority. Topic number three. Graham McDowell and Jeff Overton both made huge news in the offseason when they signed with Cleveland Strixon as part of their staff. Who makes a bigger impact on the PGA Tour this year?
Lefty. PGA Tour. Oh, sorry. Thought it was
Lefty,
my turn.
Sound off.
You know, I think the key word in your question is PGA Tour. And, you know, even though Graham McDowell is committed to the PGA Tour, he does play a lot of events in the Euro Tour. And Graham McDowell is, in my opinion, probably the most on-fire golfer on the planet. But ultimately, he represents Strixon. Jeff Overton, in my opinion, is a young up-and-comer on the PGA Tour. He represents Cleveland. And the PGA Tour is based in the United States. And Cleveland Golf is predominantly in the United States. So my opinion would be that Jeff Overton has much more influence on the PGA Tour for Cleveland Golf.
Okay. For Jake, sound off.
Well, the PGA Tour does throw a little wrench into my plan or my thought going into this, but still, GMAC is playing the hottest golf of probably anyone not named Martin Keimer right now. He is just on fire. I think whether it be overseas or, you know, here in the States, anytime he's playing, he's getting attention from everybody. He's winning tournaments. I have to believe that comparing him, you know, compared side by side with Overton, I give GMAC the nod in this one. I really do.
Okay. This is turning into kind of a landslide here. Lefty gets the point here, and the key word there is the PGA Tour, which is, while a global tour, still a U.S. tour. Cleveland's the bigger company here, and both guys, and Graham McDowell may be the hottest golfer in the world right now, both guys are going to be huge impacts, but the Cleveland brand is just bigger in the United States, and when Graham McDowell's playing irons that aren't even available to consumers, it's a little different thing, but both guys are huge signings, and I expect big things out of both of them this year. Now, topic number four is something that Jake doesn't know is coming, but I'm sure he's getting all excited about and probably needed a cold shower before the question comes up. Tiger Woods returns at Torrey Pines. It's a real simple question. Will he win the event? Jake, sound off.
You're going to give the point to Lefty just because I'm going to say no. And I just, the reason I can't pick him right now to win, even though in my heart of hearts I'm going to be rooting for him, the talent pool is just so deep every single week. It's impossible to pick one person to win a tournament, even if it's in their own backyard where they grew up. I mean, there's going to be 140 other golfers that every one of them is going to be capable of winning this thing.
Okay.
So I can't
Lefty,
say yes. I'm
you're
sorry.
On the clock.
My, oh my, how the tides have turned. We have Jake, the radio personality, and Putting for Bird, the forum personality, who are vastly different people at this point. I say Tiger Woods doesn't win as well. I'm going to have to agree with my counterpart this time. I've said it all along. The guy has shown me nothing that he can play well for four rounds of golf. And until he does that, I won't put him in the winner's circle.
Okay, guys. Jake, you're getting the point here only because I'd never thought in a million years we'd get a subjective answer out of you. Truth be told is, ironically, I'm the only one, I guess, who thinks he will win this tournament. I don't think he'll be as dominant this year, but that's for a whole other debate. But I think he'll win. His track record says he will. But you were right. He is playing against, you know, a full field of golfers. And Lefty, you're also right in the fact that he hasn't shown any reason that we should say otherwise. Everybody says he's back and he's been working on his swing. Well, he was back last year, you know, and in the last tournament we saw with GMAC, and we saw the result there, something we'd never seen before. So,
should we half the point, or was that just a pity point?
In some ways, it's a pity point. But you know,
that's what I thought.
A subjective answer is a subjective answer. Topic number five, Westwood says no to the Players' Championship. Is it a good or bad move for Lee Westwood? Jake, sound off.
You know, at this point, it's very publicized what Lee Westwood's, you know, his choosing the European Tour. You know, that's fine. If that's what he wants to do, great. Go ahead. I don't give a rip. After all, this is the PGA Tour's flagship event, right? This isn't like a major. It's not giving anybody else any, you know, nobody else cares outside of the United States. So if he doesn't want to play, that's fine. I'd rather see the guys that are going to play, they're going to be that much more ready to go for the U.S. Open, which is only a month away. You know, they're fine. Let Lee do what he's got to do. He can jump all over the globe, and he's
okay.
It's going to hurt him in the
Lefty.
Long
run. I think it's a horrible move. It's a move that disappoints me extremely. He's a talented golfer. He's worked his way back to number one. Prove yourself against the best players in the world. We all know the Players is basically the fifth major. You know, JB, you've said yourself, you could take a picture of Lee Westwood into a supermarket and 100 people wouldn't know he's the number one golfer in the world. Well, this is his chance to show people that he is, and he's running from it. You know, it really disappoints me.
Okay. That's it. The point's going to Lefty here, and there's a reason why, and he's absolutely correct. When it comes to Lee Westwood making the decision, it is a bad move for Lee Westwood. He's made his choices. He wants to make changes on the PGA Tour and in global golf altogether. And you know what? He's right. But when it comes down to it, there's certain events you have to play. And don't tell me it's about traveling, because my favorite quote of his entire little speech that he made is, I'm going to support the Euro Tour, so I'll be in Asia. That there's all that needs to be said about that. Next topic, number six. Patty Harrington had a huge couple of years when Tiger Woods was MIA, I guess you'll call it. Then he vanished from the winner's circle. He comes back and is playing unbelievable golf, and then, you know, we all know what happened with the DQ. 2011, does he return to form? Lefty, sign off.
Well, to say he's been back and playing unbelievable golf is a bit of a stretch. It was one round, and you know, he did get DQ'd. It's really hard for me to say that he'll be back to form, because unfortunately I can't base anything off of this year, off of one round. I can only look to the past, and to be honest with you, he's been insignificant for about 2 years, maybe even longer. You know, he basically rode coattails in the Ryder Cup. He was piggybacked by his playing partners.
Jake, you are up.
No, I don't think we're going to see a return of form in 2011. As my counterpart said, that was one round. It was a great round, and unfortunately it ended the way it did. But Patrick Harrington has showed more of a habit of being a bit of a mental midget, if you will, when it gets right down to it. He can't get it done. He's gotten it done in majors, sure, but I don't know.
Okay.
There's very few.
I'm not sure. In 31.3 seconds, I'm not sure Jake actually said anything. The point's going to Lefty here. You know,
man, how much did you pay him?
It's a drubbing. It's a drubbing this week,
my,
folks.
My thoughts on Patty are this. You know, people can't. If you're going to say that you don't expect Patty to be back, I don't want to hear the argument that you've seen something out of Tiger Woods and you expect him to be back, because both of them have done the same thing in the last few events. But that's neither here nor there. Jake got it the same 30 seconds Lefty did, and he said absolutely nothing other than and mental midget. Next topic.
That should have been enough to win it.
Usually it would against Lefty. It was last week. The last 12 months have been filled with rules issues. Give us one rule, and only one rule, that you would change on the PGA Tour and why. Lefty, sound off.
One rule that I've wanted to be changed for a long time. I've actually written a couple of letters in to have this rule changed, even though I have no power or say, or I'm just an insignificant little, you know, forum leader. But I think having a ball that you have to play out of a divot's ridiculous. To me, it should be deemed as ground under repair. I think it's far more penalizing than it does, especially when you hit a tee shot in the fairway. You know, guys shouldn't be penalized for that. They make everything else
Jake,
penal.
Sound off.
The one rule that needs to be changed is the fact that if you sign an incorrect scorecard, you are disqualified. You hit one out of a divot, who cares? That might have cost you one stroke out of the 72 holes. You know. But if you sign an incorrect scorecard, you're disqualified and you're out of the running for anything. I mean, can't we just look at maybe a two-stroke penalty for signing incorrect? These guys aren't trying to cheat. They just... It's a ridiculous rule.
Okay.
It's costing people.
Jake's got the better argument here in the fact that despite the fact that Lefty's rule that he wants changed is one I believe it should be. But Jake, you're right. In everything we've seen recently, they're not signing an incorrect scorecard. They're signing what they believe is a correct scorecard, only to find out the next day that it's incorrect. Jake, you get the point and are officially back in the match. This was going to get scary for a second. Question number eight. Better candidate for shot of the year so far in 2011, Bubba Watson's driver off the deck, or Steve Marino's approach on 18 last week? Jake, your thoughts.
You know, I'm going to give the nod to Steve Marino, even though I'm a big Bubba Watson guy. The thing is, Bubba's shot was great, but it was the first round of the event. He ended up finishing like fourth from the bottom. If you look at Steve Marino's, he's only had one or two top two finishes in his life. He was looking at possibly the best career finish, and he nutted up and nailed that shot. That to me was phenomenal.
Lefty?
You know, he...
Well, I think Jake pretty much stole my argument, so I'm going to go ahead and give the point to him. that was well played. That's where I was going to go. So in this case, I'll argue for Bubba. You know, hitting driver off the deck is something that's ridiculous in the first place, and to do it from 300-odd yards and carve it 60 yards
okay.
to the left.
You were right. Jake gets the point there. Score we have right now is 5-3. There's one topic left. However, then we have the bonus question that's worth two. So this is still anybody's match, and I know both of you guys definitely want your time at the 19th hole lounge. Number 9 is an interesting one. We have a little math question because obviously you can tell by these accents we're dealing with some math whizzes here. 2011 plus John Daly plus David Duval equals blank. Lefty?
It's I am a math whiz first and foremost, despite what I may sound like, and it equals no wins. Neither of them will get it done. Neither of them are basically, you know, who knows what they are. They're both enigmas to me. You know, one guy's floating around, losing sponsorships, picking up with internet sensation scratch. The other guy's a chain smoking, lap banding, Hooters touring.
Okay. Jake, good luck topping that.
Yeah. I'm going to say it also equals zero, but I want to say this. You know what I think it equals? It equals a Rocky movie where Rocky loses every time he gets a shot back at the champ, because both these guys, they keep hanging around, you know. Oh, hey, there they are again. Oh, guess what? Both, they got beat down again. So that's to me what it is. I'm sorry. That's the first thing that came to mind when I saw this question.
Well, yeah, Lefty's argument is perfect. When you look at math, I had no idea that he was a math whiz, but he's clearly got calculus down to a science. John Daly plus David Duval plus 2011 equals zero wins. Way to work that math correctly. Bonus question time. You'll have a full 45 seconds to answer this because it's kind of in-depth. Does the PGA Tour need to be fixed? And if so, give us one thing you would change. It kind of goes back to the previous question, but we're not really talking about just rules here. What does the PGA Tour need to do to be fixed, if it does need to be fixed, in your opinion? Jake, sound off.
I'm going to go back to what I said in question number one. The biggest thing the PGA Tour can do to fix the biggest black mark that's going on with the tour right now is just some of these events are just barely getting by. It would not be that hard to just put that rule in. Once every 4 years, you have to play on every single tour event that's on the schedule. Whenever you want to, it doesn't matter, but you don't think that events like the transitions or others would be a huge shot in the arm for these guys. That'd be the difference between losing sponsorships and keeping on going.
Okay.
And we know that every
Lefty.
Well, I think that the PGA Tour does need to stop and reevaluate a few things. I think that Jake makes some good points. I'd like to see some more guys, you know, spread the love around a little bit more for the sake of the sponsors and the fans. But I also think that the PGA Tour needs to just stop and realize we have an incredible talent pool here. We have an incredible following here. We need to kind of stop trying to compete, especially with the Euro Tour and scheduling events. We need to try to accommodate these guys more so we can bring the cream of the crop here. I think if you can bring the cream of the crop here more often, things tend to take care of itself. It just falls into place.
Okay. Jake gets the point, because when it comes down to it, it really is about the PGA Tour. And when you have events like transitions that are scheduled in between Doral and Bay Hill, they are going to get lost in the shuffle. And unless you can force guys, you have to make sure these tournaments can get top 10 talent. And the Bob Hope was a perfect example of that. So when everything is all calculated, and we didn't even have to bring our math whiz in on this one, Looks like Lefty edges out Jake and goes with a scoring margin of 6-5. So that means, Lefty, you get some time in the 19th hole lounge. What do you got to say this week?
Well, first of all, I've got to say it's very refreshing being here. I'd like to thank Jake for coming along and putting in a valiant effort, although it was pretty weak. Anyway, I just want to talk about something that's pretty special to me, and I take my golf very seriously. It's also something that I love to do, and I just want to talk about who I like to play golf with, and most importantly, that's my family. And, you know, I don't get a chance to play golf with my brother and my father as much as I'd like to. And, you know, when I do, I really enjoy it. Both of those guys are near and dear to my heart. They'd certainly make a round of golf more pleasurable than any competitive round I've ever played. And I just want everyone to know, like, when you have the chance to tee it up with your old man or your brother or your wife or whatever, like, just enjoy it. You know, enjoy the time. The golf will take care of itself. And I just wanted to bring out something a little bit more positive this show.
Well, so that was well said. And in Lefty's case, all those people equal a twosome. We want to thank everybody for tuning in again this week. We think that we have something good going with these two guys. They can certainly bring it when it comes to PGA Tour and professional golf in general knowledge. And we will be back in a few weeks with another installment of Up and Down with Jake and Lefty. Thanks, everybody.